Praise God. I'm encouraged.
Amen.
Because the word tells us, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I'm not alone here today. Amen.
No, you're not.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. As you might have guessed already, pastors are not here today. And they are just taking a needful time away with their family. And we thank God for that, that they have the ability to do that. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your grace deposits upon us, Lord. We thank you for the anointing, Lord, that makes preaching easy, dear God. We thank you, Lord, that you will do today which is necessary to touch your people, dear God. Father, I yield myself as a vessel unto you, dear God, that you may do in me, Father, those things that are necessary. Say those things, Father, that are necessary to build up your people, dear God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, you can put a finger in there. And you also can put a finger in John 14. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah, see, those digital Bibles just go very quickly. People get to them real quickly. Amen. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. We're going to be reading out of the New King James Version. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily beset us, ensnares us. I'm reading a New King James, but I'm speaking out of King James. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to focus your attention on the word looking for a moment. The word looking, the Greek word there, means this: to turn the eyes away from other things and fix them on something else. To turn your eyes away from other things and fix them on something. This morning, I am fixated on Jesus.
Amen.
I am fixated on Jesus. Now, when I use the word fixate, let me give you a definition. Cause someone to acquire obsessive attachment to someone or something. Direct one's eyes toward. Similar, it says, be obsessed with, preoccupied with, obsessive about, single-minded about, possessed by, gripped by, in the grip of, engrossed in, immersed in, taking up with, wrapped up in, devoted to, dedicated to, enthusiastic about, fanatical about, infatuated with, focused. This morning, I am fixated on Jesus. Question, are your eyes on Jesus? Now, it is my hope that through this time together, that we will turn our eyes upon Jesus. This fixation is caused by our knowledge of God. You see, Jeremiah said this in 31 and 3. He says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Drawn seeks to have a relationship with us. I am fixated on God because of his love. He draws us. John 5 and 44 says this, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I'll raise him up the last day. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the love of God compels him to reach out any way he can to bring us to him. 2 Peter 3:9 declares to us, it says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This morning, I am fixated on Jesus because I'm looking at the love of God. Question, are your eyes on Jesus? Are your eyes on Jesus? This morning, I'm fixated on Jesus because I'm thinking about who Jesus really is. Now, I know we just passed through this season, but many people don't know who this Jesus is. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then we read in Matthew 1, in the Christmas story, so all this was done, verse 22 and 23, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. This morning I'm fixated on Jesus because I think about who he really is. Interesting happening happened in John 14. Jesus was somehow consoling his disciples. Their heart was troubled. And verse 1 of John 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also, and where I go, you know, the way you know. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me, I am in the Father and the Father in me. But what's believe me for the sake of the works themselves? You are not going to know God without getting to know Jesus. This morning, I am fixated on Jesus because I am thinking about who he really is. I'm thinking about the deity of Christ. I'm looking at Jesus, who is God. This morning, I'm also fixated on Jesus because I'm thinking about the things he has done. We look at Matthew chapter 14. Here's just one of the examples. Verse 19, it says, then he commanded the multitudes to sit down in the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to the heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and he took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. He multiplied five loaves with a leftover of 12 baskets. Luke 5 gives us an illustration of what he has done. Verse 5 and 6, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. What was happening is Simon went out to fish, came back, had nothing. And nevertheless, he says, look at this. Jesus told him to take his net, put it on the other side of the boat. And he said, look, he first complained, but he did what God told him to do. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. I'm fixated on Jesus this morning because he's a miracle worker. He is a miracle worker. Well, I don't know. Somehow, I don't think you get this. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. He's a miracle worker. He can provide when there seems no possible way. Five loaves, two fishes multiply, leaving 12 baskets full. Miracle worker who step in when you feel you have done everything you can. You toiled one night, but listening to him brings a breakthrough. Brings a great catch. Bigger than what you have prepared for. Your nets can't hold his provision. In Matthew 17, I just want to share a simple thing here. Talking about God being a miracle worker. In verse 24, we read this. When he and his disciples were coming to Capernaum, they received tribute money, came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? They were looking for a tax from Jesus and his disciples. And he said, yes. This is Peter's reply. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him saying, which means that Peter came to him, didn't even tell him what he wanted already. Jesus already knew what he wanted. We talk about God being a miracle worker. Even before you come and pray, he knows what you want. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That doesn't get you excited. I know what gets you excited. He already knows what you want. Then he said, what thinkest thou, talking to Simon, of whom these things of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or strangers? Do you know we are strangers? We're just passing through. So he said, Peter, yes, we are strangers. When Peter saith unto him, of strangers, Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free, notwithstanding, lest we should offend. Now listen to this. Then go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money that take and give unto them for me and thee. We talking about a Jesus. Oh boy. I don't know if you see it yet. I don't know if you see it. You're toiling. You have needs. Peter had a need. His taxes had to be paid. Your taxes might have to be paid. We're getting close to that time. Everybody comes to New Year and they're weighing down to April 15th thinking about the taxes they got to pay. And we're thinking about all those things that are coming up. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Right? Glory to God. But don't you know if a God that we serve can tell somebody to go into a fish's mouth and find your result, don't you think he can find the money you need?
Amen.
But what you need to do is take it to him and please obey what he says, even if it looks crazy.
Amen.
I mean, Peter could have said to him, what do you mean go fishing? These people want the money now. Right? He sent them fishing, and he said, the first fish that you pull up, the money will be there. Huh? Is he a miracle worker? That's the kind of God we serve. This morning I'm fixated on Jesus. I see his love in my life. I see him as bigger than a great prophet, a good teacher. I see him as God. He knows all. He's all powerful. I see him as a miracle worker, ready to step in to perform a miracle on my behalf. I am turning my eyes on Jesus. Are you turning your eyes on Jesus? Now, how do we begin to do that? How do we begin to do that? Now, as you can see, it starts with the Word of God. If any resolution you desire to make this year, you need to change the priority of God's Word in your life. Start with a chapter a day. Read with our youth if you need to. The youth are reading one chapter a day. You see, you need to hear from God. And the Word of God will speak God. God will speak to you through his Word. You need to, if you do anything else, this as far as resolutions are concerned. Now, you may say, well, I'm going to read the whole Bible in a year. People have done that. I've done that at least once. But I find it that if you just take a small portion, a chapter is a good portion, because you get context, it'll be unbelievable how much God will speak to you each day. And maybe he will come up with that fish idea so that you don't have to be chasing the dime. You see how easy it was for Peter? He told Jesus. Jesus said, go fish. He fished. Yep, paid his taxes. Done. You see, sometimes we do things backwards. We say, well, Lord, we're in a jam. Taxes coming up. After we've done all those things, then we come and say, Lord, help us. I got this bill coming. No. We need to turn our eyes on Jesus. The Hebrews 12:1 said that, therefore also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin, so easy besnares us, and let us run with endurance, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. This morning, I'm fixated on Jesus. Are you? Turning your eyes on Jesus or looking onto Jesus gives us the ability to do three things. Deal with our past, cope in our present, and prepare for the future. Deal with our past. However complicated or difficult, or how much disappointment you had in your life, we can deal with our past if we just get the Word of God inside of us. Paul exhorted us in Philippians 3:13-14. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I'm forgetting those things which are behind, and I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I'm going to press toward the goal for the prize and the upward call of God in my life, in Jesus Christ. So we learn to deal with our past. We can forget those things, those bombshells, those things that we went through, because we know that God has a better future for us. Amen? Amen? But then we need to still be able to walk and deal with the present. We have many issues, many challenges are facing us right now. If you're living in this world and you don't have a challenge, hold on. It's coming. Okay? It's coming. Okay? And John 16:33. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That we may have peace. But he continues to say, in the world you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Glory to God. If that don't make you excited, I don't know. Amen. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have overcome the world. Then to prepare for the future, to face whatever fears, he will guide your steps. John is 16, verse 12 and 15. I hope you like the word of God. Amen. Okay. It says, I still have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. You see, the Lord wants to tell you what he has in store for you, but some of us can't bear them right now. We don't know how to handle it. You okay? So he's got to give us a little bit inkling, some tinge of hope. You know? Some of us can get a little bit more because we can deal with someone. But see, he says, look, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Glory to God. But you got to be in his word so you can get that guidance. Because first of all, the word of God becomes a filter for all the noise that comes at you. You can clearly see, very clearly, when something ain't God, it don't line up with his word. You can clearly see that. And he will tell you things to come. God will give you insight. Things that are going to come down the path. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. He will take what is mine and declare it unto you. Glory to God. And all things the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it unto you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got one more other story that I want to share with you. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8 to 17. This is probably the last story I'm going to share with you. See, I don't have to be here a long time to let you know some things and to just bring forth what God shared. 2 Kings 6 and verse 8 through 17. It's the story of Elijah and his servant. Elisha and his servant. You got it? Yeah. Verse 8, it says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servant, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servant and said unto him, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So in this particular illustration, you have a situation where he's trying to get Elisha. And every time he tries to make an attempt to get him, somehow Elijah knows, and he's somewhere else. God will show you things to come. If this happened in the Old Testament, won't you think it would happen in the New Testament? Under the New Covenant? Sure. And so he says that Elisha is so informed, it's like you're talking in your bedroom and Elisha's hearing it. Knows your plans, your problems. And he says, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it told him, he was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots. Now, he's got a location now. He sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Insurmountable odds. You may be facing insurmountable odds. You might be confronted with the biggest problem. Especially if you don't know what's going on, the devil will show a picture of you that is so vivid and so terrible that it will scare you out of pieces. But this is what happens. So he said to So his servant said to him, what shall we do? And verse 16 says, he answered, Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. God, woo, I'm getting happy. He says, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. We need to open our eyes, turn them on to Jesus, put our sight on him, be able to fix ourselves upon Jesus, to know his word. You see, when the devil comes at you, you'll be able to say, oh, no, devil. It is written. Amen. Didn't our master give us the same example in Matthew chapter 4? That's for you to read. It is written. Bring it before God. And then the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. When you think you're overwhelmed, and you have all these things you think is against you, and you think that you can't go forward, or you have dealt with all the stuff from 2021, and you don't know how you're going to look at 2022. Boy, if I could tell you how my week was. Glory to God. But you need to be able to stand up and say, I'm going to look at Jesus. Amen. I'm looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of my faith. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this hymn. I want to read it to you. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. It says, also are you weary and troubled. No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at this Savior. And life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and he will be well. Then go to the world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes, hallelujah, upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for the look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Mm-hmm. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Mm-hmm. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Mm-hmm. So as you're looking into this new year, our pastor is going to bring, of course, that starting message for the new year next week. Begin to set your eyes. Fixate yourself upon he who will show you your proper path. He who will guide you each and every step. And it's such a simple thing. Just stay in his word. Stay in his word. And when these things, the onslaught, come against you, you can recall. The Bible says he will bring to remembrance those things he has taught you. God wants to teach you. Do you know, and you, can you say amen, amen, that every time you want to sit down to read your Bible, seems like everything else seems to come up.
Come on,
tell me. Everything else seems to come up. Why? Because the devil knows that the word is too powerful. And if you have it, and you can yield and whip it, just like Jesus did in Matthew 4, that's for you to read, okay? You will know. Let's follow his example. What did he do? No matter how the devil came at him, he said, it is written. It is written. If you're watching today, talking about those who are online, and you can't even relate because you don't see Jesus. I want to tell you, you can start seeing Jesus. That word could become special to you. And you can know what we are dealing with. You can know what we feel. You know how we can be excited, how we're excited about the Lord and our Savior. That we have a purpose for living. That we know, that we know, that we know, that we know. That when we walk through our doors, okay, we don't have to be fearful. Because Jesus is with us. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this. You want to start this relation with Jesus Christ? You need to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. And you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now it's real simple. If you believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sins, you confess him as Lord and Savior, you'll be saved. You're accepting him and his forgiveness. You can do this by saying a simple prayer. And we're going to pray this out loud together. Repeat these words. Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins. And he was raised from the dead for me. Right now, I call him my Lord and Savior. I receive his forgiveness. And I'm walking in the new life with him. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time, please contact us if you're on Facebook, and we can send you some material. The pastor will be back in town next week. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we can stand, and we're going to do our closing verse. Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, gave you Alexa 15 minutes. Thank you, Jesus.
That is good.
Praise
good.
God.
Amen.
Let's say it together. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalms 121, 7 through 8. I'd like to say to you all, Happy New Year. We probably won't see you till next week. So you all enjoy yourself. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.